ma'am, it's me again. All right. Yes, so I am so excited to be here this morning to preach God's word to you. I've got a lot of plans the rest of the day, but you know, first let's get through a sermon and open God's word together, and I'm excited to do that. We have been talking about family, I think this is the third week of talking about family. We've been talking about it since Easter. Easter is a really busy time for church staff. We do a whole bunch of different things, a million things, and we were busy for sure for Easter. Since then, I've been actually finishing up Huddle. We're planning summer trips for the youth. I've been onboarding summer staff. I've been here and there. I've been in Denver for Presbytery and Orlando for the denomination. I've been here and there with my family, and I've been trying to figure out what it is that we could talk about with family, and I figured out some verses that might speak to our families well. And so I wanted to share them with you this morning. These are verses that you probably know, but I wanted to think about them with you. Psalm 23, you all know this verse. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing," and then so on and so forth. You can go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, you can, actually let's skip this one, go forward. Psalm 46. No, hold on. Let's just do verse 7 of that. Go back to verse 7. It says this, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Okay, now you go to 46. 46 is a verse we know pretty well. It says, be still and know that I am God. And then Moses is talking to the Israelites. You can go to Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. Moses is talking to the Israelites, and he says the same thing to our families. He says, "Do not be afraid, stand firm. The Lord will fight for your deliverance today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." I've been thinking about family. We've been talking about family. We've talked about what the purpose is and how to do it well, how to do it biblically. Relationships are key, we've said. We need to love one another, the whole family. That means family as in brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and mothers and fathers and grandparents and cousins and friends we consider family, and family we wouldn't even consider a friend. This is everyone. But when it comes to working on family, like we talked about last week, it takes time, it takes work, it takes some space and margin, and sometimes it feels like we don't have any. We're hurried, we're busy, and life is crazy busy sometimes. There's no space to work on the family. We're just too hurried, one thing to the next, or feel this with me, try to heal this with me by realizing with me what our days are like when we schedule them tight with no break in sight. When the hurry attacks, there ain't no going back. We fill up every gap with distraction and action and act on every action and reaction and impulse, and there's no inaction in our day, so we just delete the boredom till it's busy, 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 and your family's in a tizzy, and the pace keeps getting faster, and to-dos become your master, and the soul begins to ache at the rhythm your life takes. So please, for heaven's sake, would you just take a break? We need to start over. We need to try this again. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I invite you this morning to step away with me. Step away from the hurry of life, and let's consider anew the way God has for us with these verses. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Or think about Psalm 37, verses 5 to 7. It says, "Commit your way to the Lord. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." Or Psalm 46, a verse we know. The Lord says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the earth. I will be exalted among the nations. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Or perhaps Exodus 14, Moses' plea to Israel, as they're thinking about crossing the Red Sea, is also God's plea to us this morning. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. And you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Isn't this what we want instead? Not the hurry and rush, but the peace of God. And not just on the surface, but deep down in our souls. And not just in ourselves, but for our families as well. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. See, the last couple weeks, we've been talking about this circus we call family. We've talked about how our culture thinks we should do it versus how God does it. And the way God works through broken families who submit to one another. And then last week, Pastor Kaz talked about the significance of love in relationships in the family. And this week, I want to build off of both of those things by talking about the hurry of family life. Because, look, we won't have the opportunity to submit to one another if we are hurried. We won't have the space for love to grow in our family relationships if we are hurried. One author says it this way: hurry kills relationships. Love takes time, hurry doesn't have it. Love takes time and hurry doesn't have it. And so, like we said last week, we have to be intentional about loving one another, and that takes time. So I think it's best that this week we consider how to live in this busy world without hurry consuming our families. But this will be tough, right? We are addicted to hurry in our culture. We love to hurry. We wear hurried as a badge of honor. Like, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. I'm just really busy. Oh, good. Good to hear it. No, not good. Not good. That's not what we're going for. We don't want that. But it feels like we're stuck with hurry. We just can't escape it. I think that stems sometimes from a confusion about what hurry is. You see, we're busy. I'm busy, you're busy, we're all busy. And there's some things we could do about that, but sometimes not so much. There's a lot we have to do. Our to-do lists are huge, but we can be busy without being hurried. See, being busy and being hurried are two different things. Being busy means like having a lot to do in your outer life. Your to-do list is long. But being hurried means focusing on yourself, being preoccupied with what yourself has to do, to the extent that it hurries your inner life to the neglect of God and others. See, our families can be busy and hurried. Maybe you've seen that. Busy and hurried. Sometimes we can be busy without the hurry, though. And that's good. I've even seen, though, families who are not busy and hurried. Perhaps you've felt that. Perhaps you've seen this concept of being hurried. Maybe you recognize what I mean by busy versus hurried. Maybe this morning you had a little hurry, just rushing your family to church, getting out the door. Jesus has some things to say on this. In Luke chapter 10, a well-known story, Jesus gives us some things that might help with this. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42 says this: as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Look, I'm sure, to be fair, there was a lot of things to do. I've seen how crazy my wife gets when we have a house guest we don't even like. If I said, like, the Messiah's coming over for dinner, woo! So I'm sure busy was appropriate here. But she was more than busy. Martha was hurried while Mary was not, and Jesus praised her for it. And he helps us to understand the difference. He tells her, "Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." That's hurry. That's what our minds and souls are like when we're distracted with hurry, when we're rushed with hurry, we're worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is necessary: to be busy but unhurried. And this image goes even farther for us because it gives us the blessing of what an unhurried life looks like: to sit at the feet of Jesus, to listen, to learn, to rest. John Ortberg writes to describe this. He says, "Hurry is not just a disordered schedule. Hurry is a disordered heart." So yes, there are plenty of reasons to be busy, but hurry has no place in our family, in our hearts. It has no reason to disorder us. See, for me, hurry often masquerades as multitasking or efficiency, like just getting the most things done possible. But hurry is also more dangerous than that. See, the real problem is sin finds a great footing in the hurried soul. Sin finds a great footing in the hurried soul. Psychiatrist Carl Jung once said, "Hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil." And it's because our souls are like idol factories. Hurried souls are just churning out things to worship, things to find our justification, our satisfaction, our meaning in. Hurry then is often just a symptom of justification anxiety, of our self-justifying souls being overactive and producing hurry. We're trying to figure out why we exist and if we can be enough. And so for that reason, we think sometimes busy produces hurry. We think if I'm too busy, then I'm hurried. But it's actually often the other way around. We got an overactive self-justifying soul producing the hurry underneath that gives us the inability to say no when requests come our way, that can't let us slow down for a minute. That's why Corey Ten Boom said it this way: "If the devil cannot make us bad, he'll make us busy." So perhaps you've felt this in your personal life. Perhaps you've seen the danger of it, but it becomes very evident when it hits our family life, when hurry becomes a way of life for our families. Now, I'll be the first to admit I'm not good at this. I'm not good at it with our family either. I remember our last family vacation. We woke the kids up early one day, and we're cranky, they're cranky. We're getting them dressed, though. We get ready, we get out the door, we go on this nice hike I had planned. It's just a big loop, just a big loop. And I'm trying to keep us on course. So I got our kids, I'm corralling, I'm trying to follow this hike we had planned. But the kids are dawdling. My 6-year-old, my 4-year-old, they're dawdling. They're taking side trails. They're distracted by butterflies. They're playing in the dirt. And I'm constantly getting us back on course so we can get through this hike. And I remember getting stern with my son at one point. He's playing on this really cool rock formation. I'm like, "Let's go, man. Come on. Come on. We got to go. Keep moving." I'm obviously frustrated. And he asks me, "Where are we going?" for like the third time. So I'm exasperated. I'm like, "Nowhere." And he says, "Well, then why are we going so fast?" That's what hurry is. So often we're rushing with no destination. We don't have a biblical priority out in front of us that we're hurrying towards. Hurry is simply rushing for no reason. I don't understand why so often I find myself hurrying to become a person even I don't like, or why our families can be found hurrying to become families we don't even want. So we end up creating a hurried family without even seeing it. We do it with our schedules for sure, but we also do it with our values, our priorities. We do it with our attitudes and our posture even. And our families pay for this. Y'all, kids can sense a hurried bedtime. They can sense it. Trust me, I've tried. I have ways of turning an 18-page children's book into like a 4-pager. Get in, get out, go. Pages are stuck together. Sorry, bud. Go sleep. But they sense it. They know it. They don't want it. We don't want hurry. And like Pastor Kaz was saying last week, we don't want hurry in our families. We want love and connection and time and relationships. Are you so hurried that you're missing the real human beings right in front of you? So sin finds a great footing
in our families, in a hurried family as well. There's a great story that I think captured this family hurry well for me. It's the height of British colonialism, and an English traveler lands in Africa, intent to make a rapid journey into the jungle. So he hires some local porters to carry his supplies. And after a few exhausting days of travel, all on foot, and a fitful night's sleep, he gets up to continue the journey, but the porters refuse. Exasperated, he tries to bribe them, plead with them, beg them, but nothing works. They will not move an inch. So naturally, he asks why. And they answered, "We are waiting for our souls to catch up with our bodies." Isn't that what hurry family feels like so often? We're waiting for our souls to catch up with our bodies. So the question for us this morning is, are you too hurried for your souls to catch up with your bodies? But there's hope. We have hope. We find hope in an unhurried God, a God who's been busy but unhurried since the beginning, since creation. He could have created everything in an hour, maybe, in 10 minutes, perhaps in a second, yeah. But he chose to create over 6 days in an unhurried, rhythmic way. And then even in the way he created humanity, we see an unhurried God. With everything in the universe, he speaks and boom, it exists. But with humanity, he bends down into the dirt and he forms man out of the dust of the ground. And I'm sure our eternal God took his time crafting each finger, each toe, each fold in the ear. And then he paused to breathe in so that with his breath, he could fill the lungs of the first man. God's unhurried hand is on you and me in creation. And then when the Son of God comes to earth as Jesus the Messiah, he walks unhurried and simply through the world. He does busy without hurry in his miracles, in his teachings, and even in his work of redemption. I love the fact that Jesus didn't rise from the dead the next morning or like an hour later. He didn't hurry back. He observed the Sabbath rest. He paused and gave his followers room to pause and meditate on what it means to be unhurried on that holy Saturday. So God's unhurried hand is on you and me in redemption as well. And with that redemption, Jesus gives calm to our self-justifying, overactive souls with the gospel. Because he lived, died for our sins, rose from the dead, we can live a new way. We can know that we are loved and forgiven and accepted and meaningful in Christ. And we can preach that to our hurried souls. But with that redemption, he also gives us a way to eliminate hurry in our families, a new way. This is what he says. He calls out and gives a plea to hurry sick families in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You will find rest for your souls. What an incredible offer. That's what I want for my family. That's what I want for myself. But it's a somewhat strange request he has for that. He offers them a yoke. Here we are, hurried, wearied, burdened, and he offers us a yoke, a work tool, a tool of burden and weight. If our souls need rest, the last thing we want is a work tool. But it's his yoke. It's Jesus' yoke. We're yoked together with Christ. It's a new way to balance, to unhurry, a whole new way of life for our families that comes with the gospel. And with it, it becomes an easy and light yoke. See, a yoke was a long piece of wood that would tie two animals together so they could pull a weight together. So Jesus offering for us to be yoked with him meant that we would be pulling together with him, okay? Pulling the weight together with Christ. So that means when we think about like our justification, let's say, or our satisfaction in life, our finding joy in life. And we put these in there and carry this burden. We think about perhaps our family and their well-being. We think about our family and their goals and accomplishments we have to get done. We think about faith and forgiveness and the burdens that we have to carry. We have a pretty heavy weight here that we have to carry. But Jesus offers some help. And so I have a helper with me this morning. Fiona Rue, can you come help me with this? Fiona, come on up here real quick, okay? You're going to help me move this bucket. We have a big burden here, and we need to move it across the stage. Come on over here. Can you grab that side right there? We're going to move it right over there, please. Ready? Set, go. There you go. Good job. All right, put it down. Oh, good job. Thank you, Fiona Rue. Thank you so much. Whew. She did a great job helping me carry that across the stage. And that's like us with Jesus. We carry our burdens, and then Jesus, like Fiona, comes along and he helps us carry them where we need to carry them. He takes the weight off of us. All right, she's gone. I'm going to be honest with y'all. She didn't help at all. Not a bit. She didn't help one bit. This is what it's like. Jesus carries the weight. We're yoked with him. In a yoke, the stronger one bears the weight. And Jesus is stronger. He is infinitely stronger. We don't even compare. And so his yoke is easy and his burden is light because he's doing all the pulling. That's the gospel yoke for us. That here we are carrying maybe a pound, maybe two. And it's because we're yoked together with Christ and he carries the load. But also in a yoke, the stronger one sets the pace. The stronger one sets the pace because if the weaker one were to try to go ahead faster, that yoke is going to be burdened and heavier for them. So when we're yoked with Christ, we find he sets an unhurried and easy pace. It's when we hurry up. It's when we hurry our families through this life that we really feel the burden and weight of all of those things on us. So to walk with Jesus then is to walk with a slow, unhurried pace. That's the glory of Jesus's light and easy yoke that he wants to give rest to our families with. But it's not an easy thing to break. It's not an easy thing to step out of that hurry. See, in this passage here, Jesus is calling for them to be yoked together with him, to take on his yoke, or the word is to come up under the yoke. And to get into Jesus's yoke, we have to bend low and come up under it. The first step to getting rid of hurry in our families, to take on the gospel yoke, is to give up. The first step is humility. It's bending low. It's realizing that it's not all about us, all about our families. The world will keep spinning even if your family's heads stop spinning. But also, there's more with the gospel. Christ himself, with his arms spread wide on the cross, he comes up under the yoke. He bends low and humbles himself so that he could yoke himself with us. This passage says, gentle and humble in heart. He comes up under your yoke. You feel the burden of justification. You feel the burden of finding satisfaction and accomplishments. You feel the burden of your family's weight on you and all these relationships you have to keep up with. And Jesus comes up under your yoke with you. And the stronger one bears the load and sets the pace. So would you give it to him? Having the gospel yoke means we can eliminate hurry from our lives. Eliminating hurry from your life and family means letting biblical priorities dictate your schedule, not the other way around. Listen, hurry cannot be the boss. It's a terrible boss. A recent study at Duke said that human beings are 40% of human actions are just habits. 40% of our actions are just habits. And so we need new habits if we're going to find a new way to adopt this Jesus way of unhurry, because hurry is a very hurtful habit, and we cannot have that in our families' lives. So let me give you a few of these Jesus habits. First, we must still our hurried souls by preaching to them daily. Preaching to our hurried souls the unhurried gospel, the justification of the gospel. Preach to your hurried soul the gospel daily. Can you imagine what your life would be like, what your family's life would be like, how much hurry could be cut back if every morning your soul heard, in Christ you are loved. In Christ you are accepted. In Christ you are approved. In Christ you are forgiven. What if your soul heard that every morning? Next, you can remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. This one's an old one and a good one. But does your family have a Sabbath? Does your family have a day of rest? Does your family have a day of unhurry? Sure, be busy, do a lot of fun things. Be with one another, but be unhurried in that day of Sabbath. Does your family have a day where you are not hurried? A day of rest. The Sabbath was designed by God to be a counterattack on hurry. And so keep it, and keep it strictly. Be strict about it. Next, simplify. Simplify. I challenge you, go home and delete 10 apps from your phone. You don't need them. Just 10 of them. Pick any 10. You don't need them. Delete them. Simplify. Or go home and look through your possessions. Find 10 things you own. Get rid of them. Give them away. Take them to Goodwill. Whatever you want to do. Simplify. The drive to possess is a great engine for hurry. So let's simplify. Slow down. Pick the slow lane. The way home from church today, take the long road. Sit in traffic sometimes. In the mornings, I like to make a pour over coffee because it slows me down and gets rid of the hurry. It takes longer to do. Take your kids, take your grandkids to the longest checkout line. Read the whole children's book, all 18 pages. Yes, we can be busy, but not hurried, but sometimes you actually have to be unbusy to reset your hurried soul. So also, use your vacation days. Find the right time off. Schedule it. Put it in your calendar. Because the minute you see, oh, what are you doing Friday night at 6 p.m., and it says, nothing on there, so I'm doing nothing. That means I'm free. But what if you were to calendar it and schedule it? What if you were to put in intentionally time with family? Time to be still. So be intentional about it. Set an airplane mode time for all devices in your house. Airplane mode, right now, every day at this time. And then when we're done twitching from withdrawal, you know, we can connect with one another and see each other again. Finally, remember, for your family's sake, when the world is trying over and over again to tempt you with hurry, remember for your family's sake that no is a complete sentence and you can use it. Use it often. Find time to be unhurried with family. So I beg of us to let our souls catch up with our bodies. To let our family's souls catch up with our family. And as summer begins, as kids get out of school, as grandkids get out of school, find time to be still and wait on God as a family. The Karate Kid 2010 version has this advice from Jackie Chan. Doing nothing and being still are two very different things. Find time to be still this summer. Set aside time to put away distractions, to pull back on the hurry, and God will bless your summer. Learn as a family to come up under the yoke of Christ, to walk at the pace of Christ, to let Christ take the burden, to let your biblical and gospel priorities dictate your schedule, and to fire hurry from your boss so that God is not rushed out of your day. Because brothers and sisters, the unhurried family is a family that has space for love to grow. The unhurried family can connect well with each other and well with God. The unhurried family is the family God uses to get busy spreading the gospel of hope and peace in this world. Let's pray. God, we need your help because we are stuck in hurry so often, and our families are stuck in hurry, and we can't get out of it. And we need you to work with your Holy Spirit in our hearts and our souls to quiet us with the gospel. Let our souls hear the good news fresh this morning that you are God, we are not, and so we can be still and know that. That you fight for us. You have paid the full price. It is finished for our redemption and approval. Let our souls rest in that this morning. May we find ways out of hurry with your help. May we come up under the gospel yoke and humble ourselves today. Can we leave this place and think about connecting with those around us by unhurrying our lives with the way of Christ? It's in his name we pray. Amen.